right, I want to invite you to take God's word and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 as we begin this new series today. The title of my message is part of the subtitle there. I'm calling it Stronger Than Ever. Stronger Than Ever. This past year has been incredibly tough, not just on our nation, but really the entire world. Who would ever have thought, imagine what we'd be dealing with as it relates to this pandemic known as COVID-19. To date, out of the 219 countries and territories that even report the numbers, 2.9 million people have died as a result of this horrendous virus. In the United States alone, the numbers are at 560,000. You bring it closer to home, we've had members of our faith community who have lost loved ones due to COVID. I lost one of my mentors to the disease. Matter of fact, on the day that I preached in view of a call, that morning while I was reading over my notes and getting ready, I got the text that a man who had invested in me and poured his life into me had gone to be with Jesus as a result. We had just exchanged text the week before. He was saying, Jarrett, pray for me, man. This thing is doing something on me. Went to be with Jesus. COVID's wreaked havoc in our communities, not just in our community, but all over. It's stoked the fires of fear in people. It's left families grieving. Some weren't even able to be around their loved ones or host a memorial. This is kind of the heart behind the COVID service of remembrance that we're going to be hosting on April the 18th. And I really encourage you, if you know anybody that lost a loved one due to COVID or lost a loved one during COVID, this memorial service is for them. We're going to sing songs of faith. We've got a family in our church who experienced this type of loss and is going to share a testimony. I'm going to preach a message of hope. It's just a small way for us to provide hope and healing to many who are struggling as it relates to the pandemic. But it's not just the pandemic. This has been a tough year. I mean, add on top of the pandemic, the political divide of this last year's election cycle. Add on it the racial injustices that we've seen just in this past year. And I'm telling you, the grief, the anger, the worry and anxiety, the sense of loneliness and fear is at an all-time high in our society. And I just believe as a church that we have an obligation to speak to the mental and emotional health issues of our day from a biblical standpoint. Now, I realize this is something very complex when we talk about emotional health and mental health, and I realize we're complex individuals. And so there's no way in a 35-minute message that we can unpack all there is to know about all of these subjects that we're going to deal with. Just a few disclaimers right up front as we get going, just to kind of set the direction for where we're headed on this journey. Number one, I am not a licensed professional counselor. And so I don't intend for this time that we have together to be a therapy program. That's not the point. The point is to look at these issues from a biblical worldview and offer the hope and healing that I believe can come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to go deeper into any of these subjects, these emotions that we'll talk about, we have put on our website, championforest.org/resilient. You can go there, and we do have licensed professional counselors on our staff, as well as a number of seasoned pastors who have done their fair share of counseling, and we've put on there a list of resources for you to go to, books, articles, websites, organizations, and we've also put all of the numbers to our trained counselors on staff. So if you are struggling with something at a deeper level, we want to encourage you to go here and get the help that you need. And I want to say I am a huge fan of biblical counselors, huge fan of going to see trained professionals. For some, what we're dealing with in this series, these emotions, they run deep, a lot of them, and there's a lot to them, and a lot of layers to peel back. And so on top of the biblical advice and the counsel that we give, the best thing you can do is go to a trained counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, and get the help you need. We know that there are biological, physiological contributing factors that sometimes play here. And in no way do we want to trivialize or minimize God's grace that he's given us in medicine to help those with serious diagnosis of these types of issues and concerns. So the point of this message is we want to encourage you to get the help that you need, to not feel embarrassed about it, to not feel ashamed of it. At the same time, we know that there are many, when talking about these specific subjects, that don't need a counselor and don't need medicine. What you need is a good come to Jesus meeting. And that's what we're going to do in our time together today. And it starts right here in Romans chapter 8. This is one of my favorite chapters, if not my favorite chapter in all of the Bible. One commentator said this about Romans 8. If the Bible is a ring and the book of Romans a precious stone, chapter 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, I would rather live in Romans 8 than in the Garden of Eden. Man fell in the garden, but we're told here that we will never fall again. This chapter has two amazing bookends, if you will. Verse 1 starts with no condemnation. Look at it there in Romans 8, 1. Therefore, there is now, present tense. That means right now for the believer, 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 weeks, 50 years. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It bookends with verses 35 through 39 with no separation. Look at what the scripture says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Hence the title, stronger than ever. More than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want to put forward this proposition today. And that is that many of us struggle with worry and fear and shame and anger. All these emotions that we're going to talk about in this series, I believe, can be traced back to, at its root, not fully believing, living in, realizing, understanding, breathing the very air of Romans chapter 8 right here. That in Christ there is no condemnation and that in Christ there is no separation. And so I want to make three major points. I'll do it in the form of answering this question. How do we come back stronger than ever from the mental and emotional health issues that can sometimes be so devastating in our lives? How do we come back stronger than ever? Point number one, here it is. Think position. Think position. Now, every point I give this morning, I'm going to give three of them. Start with the word think. T-H-I-N-K. Say it with me. Think. When I was a little kid, my dad, brick mason by trade, carpenter, I'd follow him around as he would work. If he was instructing me on something, he'd say, now, Jared, I need you to put your thinking cap on. I never knew what that meant. What does that mean? But what, as I've gotten older, right, what does it mean? He wanted me to pay attention, to come in close. And what he was about to tell me was very, very important. And so as it relates to dealing with the mental and emotional health issues today, I want us to really think about these things because our mind matters. It plays a critical role in how we deal with our emotions. Now, to be clear, I'm not suggesting that what you may be struggling with or wrestling with is all in your mind. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that the battlefield for your life is mostly in your mind. First heard this as an 18-year-old college student. Dr. Terry Carter, Washington Baptist University, walks into our classroom. It's a bunch of preacher boys sitting there. It was a spiritual formations class. And the first thing he said was, gentlemen, the battlefield of your life is your mind. If Satan can win the war in your mind, he has you beat. And I don't know why that struck me that day. I don't know why it stuck with me all these years later, but I can tell you this, as I've progressed in my relationship with the Lord, I have found this statement to be very true. I'll work it out in this way. See, for Christians, and that's who I'm talking to today, this message is for those who have placed their faith and trust in Christ. What happens when we enter into a relationship with Jesus is that he changes us instantaneously. When I say think position, this is all about our identity as Christ followers. When Jesus saves us, he changes us. We go from being what the Bible said was a child of wrath to being a child of God. We go from being a son or daughter of darkness to being a son or daughter of light. Instantaneously, God changes us. It's a miracle. That's why it's called to be reborn. It's a spiritual rebirth. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new mind. He gives us a new identity. He says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The issue is that which is new still resides in the old. There are three enemies, if you will, of us progressing spiritually. Three enemies that work overtime to immobilize us from moving forward. They want to trap us in our emotions. They want defeat to characterize our life. I'll give them to you. The first one is the world system. 1 John 1:9. You can write it out beside there, look at it later, but that would be the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in life. This whole worldly system is an enemy to us as followers of Christ. It's an enemy to us because the one in control is another enemy, and that's the devil, the adversary, who lies to us. Scripture says his job description is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do to every one of our lives. And that's not just physically steal, kill, and destroy us. That's emotionally he wants to rob us of these things. Rob you of peace, rob you of joy. The third enemy would be the flesh, i.e. the sin nature. And these enemies work overtime to, again, cause us to live in discouragement and despair and defeat. And think about when we say the battlefield for our life is in our mind, how often do these enemies, where do they attack? More often than not, they start right here in the mind. And if they can get our mind off of our identity, who we are in Christ, and put it on our feelings, put it on our emotions, put it on the behavior, the actions that we did or somebody did to us, they'll do anything they can to take us off of our positional nature, who we are in Christ. This is why Paul says in Ephesians 6:17, put on the full armor of God, starting with the helmet of salvation. Peter would say, prepare your minds for action, 1 Peter 1:13. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Our mind plays such a critical role in the warfare for our soul. This is why Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 there, look at it in verses 5 and 6, for those who live according to the flesh, the sin nature, used interchangeably in the scripture, they set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So I've asked this question to preteen students before, so certainly we can answer it. The choice is really simple. Like, boil it down to its simplest form. Do we want corruption and death, or do we want life and peace? Paul's going to say, if you want life and peace, you better give your mind over to the Spirit, i.e. the Spirit of truth. Not focusing on something that you did that you can't get over or can't get past. Not focusing on what someone did to you that you can't get over or can't get past. Not focusing on what God has allowed in your life that has buckled you. You can't understand it, can't wrap your mind around it. See, what happens is, if we're not careful, We'll focus on those things rather than the truth of who God says we are in His Word. And the more we identify with our hurt or the offense against us or what we're feeling in the moment, the more we think about that, identify with that, the less we are thinking about our position, who we are in Christ. And so the warning is, listen, if you want victory in your life, if you want to continue moving forward spiritually, we have to do as Paul said, and put our mind on the Spirit of truth, which means think about your position, who you are in Christ, not what you feel. I liken it to this. I'll put an image of a train up on the screen for you. When I disciple people, and this is usually week two or three of our discipleship process, I'll put this train up. And you see it, fact, faith, or feeling. Notice what's driving the train. It's fact. It's truth. Feelings are always on the caboose. Okay? Now, this is not to say that what you're feeling in any given moment is not legitimate. It is. But what we're saying is we can't let our emotions drive the engine of our life. If so, your life is going to look like an EKG heart chart. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Because the only consistent is the truth of God's Word. And so where do we, as Brent read earlier, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, how do we get our minds wrapped around our identity, who we are in Christ? It's by spending time in God's Word. This is where our minds are renewed in the truth of Scripture. We're not led astray by the world system. We're not listening to the lies of the enemy. We're not following this sinful nature and flesh. Why? Because we are giving our minds over to the Lord. And this is so very important. It starts with our time alone in God's Word every single day. First step to victory. Filling your mind with Scripture. Think, position. If you don't, the experiences and emotions of life will overwhelm you, and you will begin to live off of feelings and emotions and experiences rather than the truth of who God says you are in His Word. And you look at Romans 8, there's a lot in here that says who you are in God's Word. Verses 15 and 16 calls us sons and daughters of God. Verse number 17 says that we are heirs of Christ. Verse 29 and 30 says that we are predestined, justified, and glorified. Talk about our position. We have been justified at the point of faith, meaning God has legally declared us righteous from that point on. That's who we are in Christ. Verse 37, we are more than conquerors. You think position. And I promise you, as you do this, you will not be led astray as easily by your emotions or held captive by them as in the past. We can come back stronger than ever in Christ if we wrap our minds around and think about who we are in Christ. We are more than conquerors. Don't tell me you can't fight a habit or a hang-up if the Spirit of the living God lives in you. This is who you are. More than conquerors. Think position. Secondly, think perspective. Think perspective. How do I come back? Think perspective. As a pastor through the years, I'm telling you, I've talked to a number of people. Maybe abuse is in their past. I mean, that's my story. You've heard me share a little bit of it. Sexually abused between the ages of 8 and 12. Never told somebody till 19. Talked to a number of people. Same kind of story in their past. And you want to talk about anger? Never been able to get over it. Never been able to get through it. I've talked to people with shame. They made a decision in their past. And they cannot forgive themselves. And it's preventing them from moving forward and growing spiritually. Can't get over it. What they did or what somebody did to them. Talk to people who live worried. I mean, the fact that they haven't worried in a day or two will cause them to worry. Why aren't they worrying? Want to worry? Think perspective. Where do these emotions come from? I mean, as Christians, We believe God created us, knit us together in our mother's womb. The scripture says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Did he make us so that we would live in worry? So that we would be held back by fear? So that we would be overwhelmed by guilt and shame? Is that how God made us? Of course not. None of these emotions were even present in the Garden of Eden. We're going to see in a few weeks when we talk about shame, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. And what does the scripture teach about Adam and Eve? They were naked and not ashamed. They felt no shame. When did they feel shame? When they sinned against God. And as a result, you turn the next page, we've got jealousy and anger. Leads Cain to kill Abel. These emotions that we feel, perspective, if we really think about them, and all of us have felt these emotions, all of us struggle with these emotions from time to time. If we think about it, these emotions show us that something's broken and that we need fixing. And ultimately, what they're there for is to point us to the only one who can fix them. I mean, look, I'm looking at a bunch of people right now that look good, right? I mean, we come to church looking good. We got it all together. In fact, look at the person on your right and left and say, you look good. You look good, all right? And we can put on a show, right? But the reality is, all of us are broken on the inside. All of us carry shame. All of us have been angry. We know what it is to experience loneliness. In other words, we all got issues. Look at that person you said looks so good, and now look at them and say, you have issues, don't you? Yeah, we all do. We all have issues. But where did these come from? It's the result of sin, and that's what Paul tells us here in Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Again, think perspective. What Paul's saying here is this suffering that we're going through, this overwhelming fear that you feel, this worry, this anxiety, this guilt, this shame, all of these emotions, these things that you're going through, they're not worth comparing to the glory that's going to happen at a future time. In other words, perspective, it's not always going to be this way. There's hope here. And Paul's going to talk about hope toward the end of this passage. It's about hope. Think perspective. This is not always going to be this way. Verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. This means, for those of us that struggle with mental and emotional health issues, that doesn't mean anything is wrong with us. What that means is, yes, it's a sign of brokenness in our life that ultimately one day will be fixed. But instead of letting the worries and the fears and the anxieties of life drive us into despair, what Paul is teaching here is if we'll have the right perspective, they can actually drive us closer to Jesus. They can actually make us more dependent upon him because we need him. We need hope. You look at all that's gone on in this pandemic. Look at the numbers. Suicides up. Alcohol, drug abuse up. Why is it all more and more people feel isolated and alone? And they're driven to despair. When we experience these emotions, what I'm wanting to compel you to today, Christian, is to think perspective. Not let it drive you to despair, but instead let it drive you to Jesus, who can be there for you, there with you. Never to leave you. Think position. This is who I am in Christ. I'm not what I feel. I'm not what I've done. Think perspective. It's not always going to be this way. Christ is going to make all things new. There's hope. You can hold on and let those feelings and emotions drive you to Jesus, the one who can never leave you, never forsake you, there for you. Third and finally, think promise. Think promise. I was taught early on in discipleship, when studying the Bible is like a treasure. I mean, you could study this word 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of your life and still not uncover all of the truths, the beauty of God's word. And so I was taught, like a treasure, you need to look for certain things. If I told you to go on a treasure hunt, the first question you'd ask is, what am I looking for? Well, here's some things to look for as you study God's word, as you give your mind to the scriptures. Look for commands to obey. I mean, there's some things in there, black and white. God says, do this, don't do this. Look for sins to forsake. These are things God says, watch out for, a warning against. Blessings to enjoy. Romans chapter 8 is almost an entire chapter of blessings to enjoy. Look for examples to follow. I mean, as you read your Bible, just ask yourself, look for these certain things and they'll pop off the scripture, pop off the page. Teachings to learn. So often we read and we don't understand something and we just go to the next sentence. Well, maybe you need to put a star by that and go back later during the week when you have time and study. What did he mean when he said this? And finally, look for promises to claim. Scripture is full of promises that God has given believers that are yours for the taking. You just got to take them. You got to own them, claim them over your life. If you're dealing with any of these emotions that we're talking about at a significant level, this is a good place to start. You take your worry and you go find all the scripture references that are promises to God to help you combat your worry. It's amazing what God's word will do as you get it in your heart and over your mind. Battling fear? Somebody said there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. I don't know if that's true, but that's one for every day of the week, every week of the year, every day, 365, all right? Yeah, something like that. 365 day. I told you, from Louisiana, went to school in Arkansas from Mississippi. Look at these promises. If I was to have coffee with you one-on-one, and we were to talk about any of these issues that we're talking about today, anger, shame, guilt, loneliness, all these that we're going to tackle throughout this series. You said, Pastor Jarrett, where do I start? I would tell you to start right here in Romans chapter 8. And I'd say, whatever it is you're dealing with, you find the promise out of Romans chapter 8. Some of you would say, man, I'm a worry wart. I got so much anxiety in my life, I don't even know how to pray or what to pray. I'd say, that's wonderful. Why don't you find the promise of Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27? That says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I tell you, sit in the presence of God and just let the Spirit of God intercede for you if you don't know what to pray for. Or maybe you struggle with fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what's going to happen, a relationship issue went down, a financial struggle. Where do I start? I'd say you read Romans 8. And I pray that you'd find the promise of Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15 that says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, whom we cry, Abba, Father. And I'd tell you to just think on that promise that you have an Abba, Father, who provides for you. He's holy, he's perfect, he's good, he's always there. Think on that promise. See if that fear doesn't dissipate. If you're going through grief, experience loss at a deep level, don't understand it, having a hard time getting through it, I'd say, look at me, go to Romans 8. And I pray that you'd find that promise of Romans 8, 28, and that you would believe it with all of your heart, that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. You may not understand it, but God doesn't ask you to stand on your understanding. He asks you to stand on the promises of God. You read that promise and take it in. Doesn't mean your pain's gonna go away, but you stand on a promise. You're holding tight to God's hand. Someone drowning in shame, can't forgive yourself, don't think God can ever forgive you, I tell you to read Romans chapter 8 and don't leave the very first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, present tense, no condemnation for who you are in Christ. Anyone lonely, think God's forgotten you? Doesn't think he sees what's going on in your life, the pain, the struggle, the heartache? I'd say read Romans chapter 8 and sit on verse 35 through verse 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. We want to come back stronger than ever. But in order to do this, it's going to have to be believers in Christ. Thinking position. This is who I am in Christ. I am not what I feel. I am not what I've done. This is who I am. Thinking perspective. It's not always going to be this way. Jesus will one day make it right. Perspective. That what I'm feeling, don't let it drive me to despair. Instead, let it drive me to Jesus. And finally, we think promises. And as we read them one by one, I'm telling you, you see as you read these promises of God and let them flow through your mind and saturate in your heart, you see if confidence and courage doesn't dwell within you, rise up within you to give you strength for the journey.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.